Angela Yee and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do. Just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're, you know, they're listening to The Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Tuesday.
Yes, it's Tuesday. Good morning.
That's all.
Woo!
Missing somebody. Come on.
In Toronto!
What's happening? Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all this morning? How are you, Angela Yee? How are you, DJ Envy? What's happening in these streets? Well, not these streets, but at home.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
I woke up this morning like, woo, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I just can't get excited. I'm telling you, I'm over it. I can't get excited for this Zoom thing no more. I just can't do it. It's ruining my nerves. It's bothering my nerves. It's getting on my nerves. It's something with my nerves. My nerves don't like it. That's all I'm trying to say.
Gotcha. I think working from home has just been a little bit, look, I'm grateful for it, but also I feel like I work so much all day and people just think I'm not doing anything. Somebody asked me to do a Instagram Live the other day and I was so busy. I just didn't even get to, and I'm like, dude, I'm busy. Like, then he sent me a nasty message and was like, oh, what? I see how it is. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Dude, people think it's so
easy. Coffee company, my pressed juices are coming back. We have a juice bar. Doing lip service. It's like, it's not like I'm just sitting at home doing nothing.
Yeah, and then it's just get exhausted being on Instagram Live all day or being on Zoom all day. Not that I'm complaining, because I'm grateful that, you know, the opportunities are there, but I would much rather be in the studio. I need interaction with y'all. I need to be around people. I need to get up in the morning and be commuting on my way to work. It's good for my mental health. Just waking up and jumping on Zoom, it's not the same level of excitement, people.
You know, for me, it doesn't. You know what? No one bothers me, man. This virtual school, bro. This virtual school is kicking my ass. I ain't even going front. You know, having a big family is amazing, but when it's virtual school time and you running between three classes, you trying to tell a 4-year-old she got to color in between the lines, and you're helping a first grader with his math, and then you got to run to a second grader to help with her multiplication, and you're going back and forth, and all they want is a snack, a cookie in between it all.
So you don't send none of your kids to school?
They go half day.
Yeah, my oldest goes a half day. My second oldest goes all day. She's 5.
She goes all day. They don't have all day. They have half day. So you have to do, they go from 9 a.m. to 12. And then there's a break from 12 to 1, and then they do 1 to 3. And that 1 to 3 is virtual, and you got 3 kids. You can't put them next to each other because they're all talking, so you got one in different rooms, so you're running back and forth. And they necessarily don't care about the class. They say, well, where's my snack? Dad, can I get a snack? Can I get some apple slices? Can I get some strawberries? It's crazy.
Because they're not really focused. It's hard to be focused at home. I can imagine. If I feel that way about being at home to work and not really focused, imagine how the kids feel when it comes to school.
Bro.
They got all the toys right around the corner.
Bro, the teachers are reading stories, and they don't
Lord
care about no
mercy.
Damn story.
Lord have mercy.
Yesterday,
Lord
I read a story about an ant, and the teacher was like, so where did the ant go? My son was like, we stepped on it. I was like, oh, my
Lord
gosh.
Have mercy. Lord have mercy. I'm going to be honest with you, man. When you realize that, you know, we're in this position because our government and the way they handle coronavirus, that's enough for me to vote on November 3rd. Being honest with you. That's enough. That alone right there is enough. When I think about the last 6-7 months that got taken away from us and how our lives have been altered this year, that right there is enough for me to vote on November 3rd. Being honest.
As Dr. Fauci said, no one's looking at the United States and saying that our response to coronavirus was amazing.
Nope. Not at all. Because we're still in the house.
That's right. All right. Well, Dave Mays, Latasha Brown, and Bun B will be joining us this morning.
What are they doing?
They do their summit each and every year. So this summit today is going to be on voter suppression. So they're going to be talking about voter suppression, taking call. I was going to say taking calls, but talking to people. They're going to be doing all types of different things all day long, talking about voter suppression and trying to get people to register to vote. And Michelle Obama is doing the same. All day long, she has your favorite celebrities talking about voting. And not just who to vote for, just to register to vote. It ain't about who you're voting for. They just want you to get out there and register to vote. So many people voted. So many people are not registered. So today is National Voter Registration Day. So everybody's trying to get people to register to vote.
Yeah, they definitely want you to vote for Joe Biden and Senator Kamala Harris, though. But it's the Hip Hop Political Education Summit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's Dave Mays, Latasha Brown, and Bun B. So there's a lot going on today. So we're going to kick it with them. And we got front page news. What are we talking about, Yeezy?
Well, they are saying that Ruth Bader Ginsburg's vacancy will be voted on before the election, and that is for the Supreme Court. So we'll give you the details on what's happening with that.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, last night, New Orleans played the Raiders last night. The Raiders won 34-24. What else we got, Yee?
All right. Well, let's talk about Donald Trump. Now, he was asked to respond as far as Ruth Bader Ginsburg's granddaughter saying that her dying wish was that I will not be replaced until a new president is installed. And here's what Donald Trump had to say.
Well, I don't know that she said that, or was that written out by Adam Schiff and Schumer and Pelosi? I would be more inclined to the second. Okay, you know, that came out of the wind. It sounds so beautiful. But that sounds like a Schumer deal, or maybe a Pelosi or Shifty Schiff. So that came out of the wind. Let's see. I mean, maybe she did and maybe she didn't. Look, the bottom line is we won the election. We have an obligation to do what's right and act as quickly as possible. We should act quickly.
Hey, man, gangster going gangster. Okay? I've never seen two people not give a F the way Mitch McConnell and Trump don't give a F. They all about business. Whether RBG said that or not, Trump and McConnell don't care. This is about power at the moment. Republicans have it and Democrats want it.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell did vow to hold a vote on the Supreme Court nominee. And the reason he's saying that this is not unusual, he said when President Obama was asking Republicans for an unusual favor, that was when everything was divided. The government was divided. This time it's Republicans running the presidency and the Senate. And that's why it should happen quickly.
Mm-hmm. Power. They got the power. Yes. They have the power to do it and they're going to do it.
All right, and then I want to make sure I just mention this, too. In Louisville, Kentucky, they are closing some federal buildings this week and operating under a state of emergency. The city is awaiting an announcement by State Attorney General Daniel Cameron about the investigation into the killing of Breonna Taylor. So the United States Courthouse there will be closed to the public through Friday, September 25th. And all scheduled in-court appearances will be continued or converted to video conference proceedings at the discretion of whatever judge is presiding.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, this is America. In America, I've learned that we don't get justice. So I'm not looking forward to it. But if it does happen, I'll be pleasantly surprised. But we'll see.
All right. Well, that is your front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. Again, the number 800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
I'm dialing. Hey, what you doing, man?
I'm calling you.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Mike from VA.
Mike, what's up?
What up, King?
Hey, not much. What's going on, y'all? So I want to get off my chest, like, yo, like, why are women so complicated, right? So tell me if I'm wrong. If your girl or your wife be like, hey, babe, I think I need some brakes. And you be like, all right, take your car to the shop. I'm going to go ahead and help you get some brakes on. And she gets to the shop and she doesn't need brakes, but she gets other work done. Is that still your responsibility?
Yes.
If that's your wife and your girl, yeah.
Yes.
You don't want her brakes to give out. Yeah.
No, he's like, you need to get brakes, you got other things done.
But it don't matter. Right. If something's wrong with the car, you got to take care of it. Yes. Don't matter
so what
you're
saying. She went there to the dealer and they finagled her to get some other things.
Right.
Now, I don't think it's finagling.
It might not have needed it. All she might have needed was brakes.
But she didn't need brakes. So she
didn't need brakes. If something's wrong with the car, it's your responsibility to take care of it, period. That's like if your wife said she wanted to go shopping for something and then she went to the mall, decided she didn't want what she originally told you she wanted, but she still wants something.
It happens all the time.
Okay. Oh, brakes are important.
Yeah,
she don't need brakes.
She got other things.
She didn't need brakes. She got other done, you know. And another situation we had was kind of like, okay, so we went to Disney, and I paid for everything. All she had to do was pay for the Airbnb. So we ended up getting a discount on the tickets. So she wanted me to help pay for the Airbnb. And I'm like, I paid for the flight. I paid for the park tickets. I'm paying for the food. All you got to do is pay the Airbnb. Am I wrong for that?
Is that your wife or your girl?
My fiance.
Man, people.
Nope, she's going to be your wife. She ain't going to marry your cheap ass.
You're in over money, all right? Isn't it both your monies, really?
Nah, it's not both our money. My money is my money.
Lord have mercy. You're not ready to get married, King.
Nah, some people do their money like that. I mean, I don't, but I know some people do, though. But thank you, bro.
I understand. You're trying to set a precedent. He doesn't want to have to, if they have an agreement on something, he wants her to honor that agreement also.
Yeah, but if you get married, there is no separation. Well, in my household, it's a one pot.
It just sounds like a lack of compromise.
Different people do different things.
That's what I said,
Get
it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
I hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
This is Kayla again. Hey, DJ Envy. Good morning,
Kayla.
Good morning, Kayla.
Peace, Kayla. How are you?
I'm great. How y'all doing?
Good.
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Well, I called because to get off my chest, I know y'all was going to ask me that. I am from Glynn County where Ahmaud was killed, shot and killed. Over the weekend, we had another young man get killed by police violence. They said that he shot at them, but he didn't. And they made it rain on that young man. He is dead right now. And he had just got out of prison. He just got married. He was doing really good. And I really feel like it's a bad spirit roaming around Glynn County that's killing our black young men. And we got to do something about it.
I wonder why that story hasn't gotten national attention yet.
Well, it just happened, and Brunswick is snug between Jacksonville and Savannah. So, you know, with Jacksonville and Savannah right there, they have more crime than we do. So it's like if our thing don't go national ourselves, if we don't say something to somebody, then we ain't going to get no justice. Like Ahmaud's killers went home and went to bed and went to sleep, and they ain't sleeping no cell, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm from Glynn County. I'm from Brunswick. I'm the young lady that thinks you're really fine that calls up there all the time. I'm being serious today, though. And DJ Envy,
taste.
I don't be trying to offend you, DJ Envy. I just don't do light skin, dude. First of all,
you don't have to make no excuses for thinking Charlamagne the God is fine.
You don't have to group us all together.
She said she's being serious today. The other time she wasn't.
I know, but she said her ex-husband was light skinned. Yeah, I got to group us all together. And it's okay. You got bad taste. I'm sorry. I mean,
No, it's not that. It's just, you know, the blacker the better, the sweeter the juice. But one thing I can say about fair-skinned men, they are very confident. Fair-skinned men, but now you know I'm from the South. I said fair.
Ain't nothing. Fair-skinned men is not confident at all. They be so insecure.
Yes, they are. But I know. That's why they have to act so confident, because they are insecure. But anyway.
What?
Back to you, DJ.
Tell us the young man's name.
You doing your thing.
Thank you so much.
I think his name was Antonio. Oh, yeah. Keep fighting with that virtual school thing. It's hard, but it pays off. But his name is Antonio.
No,
I believe his name was Antonio. But I know that he was from Dixville. Yes, but shout out to that part. Shout out to Dixville. Shout out to Glynn County. Cooler Clothing. That's my niece's clothing line.
So you're telling me that there's a place called Dixville?
Dixville, yes.
Charlamagne been there.
Envy can't wait to DJ that.
Charlamagne been there. Charlamagne the man, right?
See, why can't y'all ever be serious? That's why nobody takes this show serious. You know what I'm saying?
This is a serious matter. Yes, this is a serious matter. Another young black man is dead in America.
That's right. All right, this is a problem. Well, thank you for calling.
Oh, y'all welcome. See y'all later. All right, Miss Yee, you got to get us some babies now. You're very pretty. You need to reproduce.
Lord have mercy, man. Where are you all over the place with it this morning?
It would, boy, look here, Plaza probably had one too.
What are you talking about?
You know, he's all over the place.
Goodness gracious. Have a good morning.
All right. That was a lot.
As the mayor of Dixville, Charlamagne.
Yeah, I would like to know who else listens to us from Dixville.
That's all you guys heard.
I heard a lot in that call.
So what's on your first agenda as mayor of Dixville, Charlamagne?
Well, I'm about to ban bike riding, okay? No bike riding after dark, okay? We don't want no men on banana seats and little short shorts riding around Dixville. That could cause a problem for residents, okay? That's number one.
I hate you, man. All right, we got rumors on the way.
Yes, I talk about Michael Jordan and his entrepreneurship. We'll tell you about another team that he has starting.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it.
Listen up. Well, Michael Jordan is teaming up with a NASCAR legend, Denny Hamlin, and they are starting their own racing team. And Bubba Wallace will be one of the drivers, the first driver, actually. So congratulations to them. Michael Jordan wrote, growing up in North Carolina, my parents would take my brothers, sisters, and me to races, and I've been a NASCAR fan my whole life. The opportunity to own my own racing team in partnership with my friend Denny Hamlin and to have Bubba Wallace driving for us is very exciting for me.
That's great.
I love it, Michael Jordan is black. Bubba Wallace is black. I love when black people come together to do great things. So salute to those brothers. So damn, now Michael Jordan owns a basketball team and a NASCAR team.
That's right. And there's not too many minority faces in NASCAR. I have another friend. His name is John, who also owns a NASCAR team. So I love to see more minority faces in NASCAR. I love it.
And you know, Bubba Wallace just had that controversy with the noose and all of that. And then they were going in on him because they were saying it wasn't really a noose. And I'm sure that was a lot of trauma for him that he didn't want to have to go through. Mm-hmm. All right. Bobby Shmurda has been denied parole, unfortunately, and will remain in prison until 2021. Law enforcement sources said he was denied parole after his interview with the board last week. They did not give a reason why, but they said that he will almost certainly be held until the end of his maximum sentence, which is December 11th of 2021.
That's so whack. He gave y'all 6 years already. Like, what reason would y'all have to deny Bobby Shmurda parole? You know he's going to come home. You know he's going to have a job opportunity. So what's the problem?
And I thought they said he did have
11 violations while he was in jail, including drug possession, fighting, and having a shank. So that does matter a lot with the parole board.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Mel Gibson is reportedly making a Passion of the Christ sequel. Did you all watch that first one?
I did not.
First of all, how can you make a part two to the story of Jesus?
You want to know what it is?
We know how that ends.
Because the first one did so well. That's why. That's the reason why.
I'm not going to lie. I cried all during that movie. But the new film, they said, would depict his biblical resurrection and the events that followed. So Passion
they didn't show that in the first one?
They showed him through to his crucifixion. And then after he was crucified. Mm-hmm. And what happened after that? All right, congratulations.
If they're not going to make Jesus black, I don't want to see it.
All right, congratulations to DJ Sus One. He is now Wendy Williams' new DJ.
Sus.
Of course, everybody's asking what happened to DJ Boof. There's a lot of rumors going on and what happened there. DJ Boof is, he's a great DJ as well. But now DJ Sus One, we don't know what happened behind the scenes. But they're saying that Wendy and DJ Boof don't even follow each other on social media anymore.
Salute to DJ Sus One. How long before the Wendy Williams and DJ Sus One dating rumors start to pop off?
They didn't start popping off already? I thought they already did. And shout out to Boof. Boof is a real good DJ. Boof is my guy.
Boof and Sus my guys, though. I love both of them, brother. I just think Sus and Wendy would make such an amazing couple. Like, they're about the same size.
They are the same height.
They look like they would make an amazing front court for the Knicks, but also an amazing couple. So I wish them the best.
Can we just congratulate Sus One on his new gig?
We are. Yeah.
That's it.
We did. Wow. Same sneaker size. Right. But, you know, congratulations to them both.
Yes, man.
And another person who's back at work, because Wendy's back at work also, is Ellen DeGeneres. She returned to her show, and here's what she said about the toxic work environment claims.
I learned that things happened here that never should have happened. I take that very seriously, and I want to say I am so sorry to the people who were affected. I know that I'm in a position of privilege and power, and I realize that with that comes responsibility, and I take responsibility for what happens at my show. We have had a lot of conversations over the last few weeks about the show, our workplace, and what we want for the future. We have made the necessary changes, and today we are starting a new chapter.
I mean, that's all she can do, right? Apologize. You know, once you acknowledge something and you apologize for it, after that, the best apology is change behavior. And we got to learn to give folks grace. Ellen didn't commit a crime, right?
Well, here's what else she said, because she does want to make this the best season she's ever had.
There were also articles in the press and on social media that said that I am not who I appear to be on TV because I became known as the Be Kind Lady. The truth is, I am that person that you see on TV. I am also a lot of other things. Sometimes I get sad, I get mad, I get anxious, I get frustrated, I get impatient, and I am working on all of that.
Now, Ellen also gave Twitch, her DJ, co-executive producer credit. So that's another thing that happened.
Oh, that's
dope. Look to Twitch. I hope he got more money for that and not just the credit. And once again, the best apology is change behavior. That's it. All she can try to do moving forward is do better.
I don't know if this is true, but he said he makes over $1 million a year on her show. So shout out to Twitch.
I believe that. Mm-hmm. I definitely believe that.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now we got front page news. What are we talking about?
We are going to be talking about Louisville, Kentucky, and they are right now on lockdown. Well, all the courts and everything until Friday, and we'll tell you why.
All right. We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
We want to pay your bills. Win $1,000 towards your expenses. Thanks to our partner, The General. Get a lot for a little at The General Insurance. For coverage you deserve at prices you can afford. Visit TheGeneral.com today. Go to BreakfastClubOnline.com to enter and get rules. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, last night in Monday Night Football, the Raiders beat New Orleans 34-24. Now, what else are we talking about, Yee?
Since you're talking about football, you know the NFL fined 3 head coaches for not following league policies regarding the use of face masks on the sideline. So the Denver Broncos head coach, Seattle Seahawks head coach, and San Francisco 49ers head coach all got a $100,000 fine each.
And I love it.
The players or staff?
It's the coaches.
The head coaches.
Oh, the head coaches, you said. Mm.
I wish they would do that in real life. In real life, I wish they would fine people for not wearing a mask. It doesn't have to be $100,000, but a nice little $100 a pop if you're not wearing a mask in public would make people put their goddamn mask on, I'm sure.
Yeah, the problem with that is, you know, everywhere people are not wearing masks. Like I said, when I go to Atlanta, I felt like I was the only one wearing a mask. So that would be difficult. You'd have to do it in different places, different states, you know?
Yeah.
Right. They were saying there were multiple examples of coaches just pulling their masks down from time to time and individuals wearing masks that didn't completely cover their noses and mouths. So after the news of the fines, they said that the New Orleans Saints head coach and Vegas Raiders head coach might be facing similar action since they were shown without face coverings during Monday's game.
And that's crazy because Sean Payton is the coach of the New Orleans Saints. He had on a Breonna Taylor mask. But don't they got to pull their mask down to talk, though?
Yes, and they're tested before the games. That's a lot, man. Especially for people that's never wore masks before, getting into the swing of wearing masks all the time is very difficult. Very, very difficult.
Yeah, we got
to
make sure
that
they're not really
running. Sometimes if you're, like, running or you have to do too much, it's kind of hard to... You got to pull it down for a second so you can catch your breath.
We got to make sure they're not really getting fined because they're making political statements. I don't know about the other coaches, but I definitely know Sean Payton, the head coach of the Saints, had on a Breonna Taylor mask.
Right. Well, they're not saying they didn't have on masks. It's just saying that they didn't have them covering their noses and mouths and kept pulling their masks down from time to time. All right. Now, some of the federal buildings in Louisville, Kentucky, are going to be closed, and police are operating under a state of emergency, and that's because of the expected Breonna Taylor announcement. They're awaiting a grand jury decision in the case of Breonna Taylor this week. And they said the guidelines, whatever they are, would be effective immediately. So right now, in anticipation of this announcement, we don't know what's about to happen, but we do want to make sure that Breonna Taylor gets justice.
Yeah, I hate that I expect the worst from this country. You're not about to get me. to get my hopes up. Because I'm thinking about what's the last high-profile case of a black person getting killed by police where justice was actually served. I could be wrong, but I think it's Walter Scott in North Charleston, South Carolina. Salute to the 843, my home. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with Breonna Taylor, but I don't expect this wicked system to do the right thing. I know that much.
Well, that's why it's always important for us to vote and be part of this process, because it does matter who's in office locally, and that way you can put some pressure. And Levi's is teaming up with Rock the Vote to help get as many people as possible registered and ready to vote this fall. You can text Levi's to 788-683 and get registered, find out key dates, and get all your voting how-tos from Rock the Vote. So just think about what issues matter to you the most and vote with whoever is in line with those issues, all right? And lastly, I want to say that U.S. Marshals have found 35 missing Ohio children as part of the Operation Safety Net. Some of those children were tied to human trafficking. It's a joint effort between local and federal law enforcement. They said it was a success as they found those 35 missing kids between the ages of 13 and 18, and over 20% of them were tied to human trafficking. And those kids were located in Cleveland, Akron, Mansfield, Columbus, and as far away as Miami. So there's still 5 open cases remaining.
Yeah, they're finding large groups of kids a lot lately, but I'm not hearing enough about the people who are actually taking these kids being arrested. That's who I want to see, you know, in custody. If they're finding the kids, I need the kids to start pointing us in the direction of the people that's taking them, because that's the scum we got to get off the damn street.
And for anybody, if anything looks out of place with any kids that you see or in your neighborhood, or you know of a missing child, you can call in tips to the U.S. Marshals tip line. That number is 866-492-6833.
And why aren't these stories being broadcasted more? I don't see these stories on front page news.
Yeah, you don't see them that much at all.
I don't see them on TV. Like, where's the big headlines for these large group of kids that are always getting found lately? This is like the second or third story I heard like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. All right, well, that is your front page news. Now, when we come back, we're going to kick it with Bun B, Dave Mays, and Latasha Brown. Today, they're doing a hip-hop political education summit. They're going to be talking about voter suppression, and that's actually going to happen today between 12 and 7 on Revolt TV. All right, so we'll talk to them when we come back, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have some special guests on the line this morning. We have my brother from another, Bun B, on the line. What up, Bun?
Bun B.
What up, Envy? Nice ride you show, bro.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir. We also have Latasha Brown on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace, Queen.
And we also have our guy, Dave Mays. Welcome back, Dave.
Dave Mays.
Good morning, gentlemen, ladies, everyone.
Now we're back for another year, the Hip Hop Political Education Summit. Every year, Dave Mays does something around hip hop and summits and political and giving back and giving people knowledge. So what are we doing this year, Dave Mays?
Well, this is an outgrowth of the Hip Hop Week started in Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, 2 years ago that I worked with last year when I came to see you guys. But we've created a new organization and a new event, which is the Hip Hop Political Education Summit, taking on voter suppression that's happening later today live. It's a live stream. Anybody can tune in from 12 noon to 7 p.m. It's great if you can go register at hiphoppoliticaled.com. But basically, this is a call to action for the hip hop community. Really, I woke up a month or two ago feeling like, with all the stuff that's going on out here socially and politically, that hip hop needs a stronger voice. In a sense, you can say before there was Black Lives Matter, there was hip hop. You know, hip hop was Black Lives Matter in the late 80s throughout the 90s in terms of being that movement to give voice to all of the exact same issues that are finally making it into mainstream discourse recently. And although hip hop has changed a lot over the years, and there are still many people out here that do have a voice, it feels like this is really a time in our lives where we need to kind of step up and get more involved in this movement so that hip hop isn't marginalized during this critical time. So I called up some folks, some leadership in the community, and asked them if they would get together with me and hold this summit. Bakari Katwana is the co-organizer with me, as well as Latasha Brown from Black Voters Matter. Bun is one of the people speaking on it. And we decided to take on the issue of voter suppression with this first summit. And we feel that's just a critical issue right now, you know, that one that affects the hip hop community, you know, in very specific ways, and that people need to be educated about. So we have an incredible lineup of people all day, different panels and speakers and performances and interactive components for folks who, you know, who will be sharing a lot of information and knowledge on what we can do to combat the issue of voter suppression.
Hey, Bun, I want to ask you, what relationship do you think hip hop and politics have?
Oh, we have a very close symbiotic relationship. You know, Chuck D said a long time ago that hip hop was the CNN for the hood. And I think for us, hip hop historically, we've been a little bit detached from the process, right? Especially for entertainers, you know, we don't really deal with a lot of the things that the average working class person has to deal with in this country personally, but we have a connection to it because the majority of our base exists in those conditions, and the majority of us come from those conditions. And I think what happens is that hip hop, which becomes the point of entry for most young Black people in this country to everything that concerns them, has kind of shifted the gears recently when it comes to politics, to try to give people a frame of reference for what's happening politically in this country, and to try to, I guess, be a voice of it, right? Like, try to explain it, break it down to layman's terms. Black people for many years have been somewhat indifferent. Young Black people, I would say within the last 25, 30 years, have been a little bit indifferent to politics because, well, for one, the conversation really only happens every 4 years, but the politics that concern most of us on a daily basis happen all the time, right? So for me, it's not just about bringing attention to this presidential campaign, which obviously is something that everyone needs to have a level of concern about, but it's really more about local politics. You know, people always say, I don't see anybody, you know, worth voting for, and I can understand that. But the way that we get to that is by lifting people up from the bottom of the process. So good city councilmen become good mayors, become good state reps, state senators, and eventually potentially presidential candidates. And, you know, there's so much misinformation and disinformation that exists within social media. When I talk to people about voting right now, the main thing I hear back is, man, I don't trust nobody, right? And that's done on purpose, right? That's a concerted effort to make people indifferent or not, you know, mistrusting the process. And so as a person that I know has a level of influence with people, I build up a trust factor with my base. And usually when I say, hey, we need to be doing this, most people, you know, follow my lead. And so right now I feel like this is something that we need to be engaged in. And I'm hoping that my brothers and sisters follow our lead on this one.
Natasha, let me ask you a question. With this critical election coming up now, how do you respond when people say, I don't like either candidate?
I think that's part of the problem. We're centering this work around the candidates of political parties. This ain't about a popularity contest of who we like the most, right? This is literally about power. And fundamentally, we got to shift the conversation instead of being about participation to power. So when we talk to folks and say, and they're young folks or people on the street that say that they don't trust the process, we're not trying to evangelize them. We say, we understand how you feel, because I felt that way too, right? And we literally, so what we shift the conversation is, well, what is it that you care about? And I have never met, we don't even tell people, we don't even say the word apathetic, because I haven't met any Black folks that don't care about something. And right. So fundamentally for us, it is, I'm asking, what do you care about? And if you listen, if you humble yourself enough to listen long enough, and literally you can back out, you can actually help them make a connection. Part of the reason people feel powerless, because it was designed for them to feel powerless. So if you center them as part of the power and make the connection, that's a different kind of conversation. So even when we were doing work in Alabama, this one about Doug Jones and Roy Moore race, which was a Senate race that that was flipped from a Republican for 25 years to the Democratic race, literally our commercial said, this ain't about the Democrats, this ain't about the Republicans, this ain't about him, this ain't about him, this is about us. And so fundamentally, I think when we're talking to folks, one, we're truthful and honest with them that voting is not the panacea, it's gonna solve all the issues, but it is a point and a tactical strategy of power to reduce the harm in our community.
All right, we got more with Bun B, Dave Mays, and Latasha Brown. When we come back, so don't move, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Dave Mays, Bun B, and Latasha Brown.
You know, we were talking about it earlier. It seems like the Democrats really lean on celebrity a lot. They lean on a lot of the artists, opposed to sometimes what's going on. What are both of your thoughts on leaning so much on the artists, leaning so much on the celebrities?
Well, I understand the idea and the concept of it because of the platform that's afforded to us and the level of influence that we have to people. But just because you're a celebrity doesn't mean you're informed, you know? So if you're going to follow, you know, people from the entertainment community, I encourage you to do your research on those people and do your research on the things that they're talking about. Like, don't just listen to me because it's me, you know what I'm saying? Take what I'm talking about, go back and do your research about it, make sure that you fall in line with what I fall in line with and vote accordingly. You know what I'm saying? My job is not to tell people who they need to vote for. My job is really to tell people to care about voting in the first place. Natasha, so that's the problem.
I was asking how you feel about celebrity. I was feeling that, you know, I was saying the Democrats lean a lot on celebrity to push the narrative. And what are your thoughts on that?
Ooh, y'all want to, this is a whole nother show. This is a whole nother show. I mean, I got so many feelings around that. Number one, even at the end of the day, there's some of us on the ground grinding. At the end of the day, I'm like, at the end of the day, this is what I do. I'm a little upset with even the celebrities that will jump out, take a position around on some of the voting pieces, ain't talk to nobody on the ground that's doing the work, right? And the bottom line is, you're even if you're telling folks not to vote, you can afford to do that, because at the end of the day, you if they cut off a lot of the safety guards, your taxes, you in a different kind of tax bracket. You ain't, but I'm talking to and working with folks that we going to court with that's getting evicted. When some of these safety nets get cut down, our people are suffering on the ground. So I think that on some level, there needs to be some level of discipline, even in our community around celebrities. Like, we all got our lane. I'm not gonna come in, Bumby, and tell you what to do, rather than spit a couple of bars, right? But at the end of the day, those of us that are on the ground, that's literally fighting every day for power, that I'm not clear about, why is it that that group, right, that why are we not literally talking about and undermining the strategies where we working our behinds off and sometimes putting ourselves in a line of danger? Politics ain't about your opinion. This is about power. And I can tell you the difference because I go to the courtrooms, that when there's a certain DA in office and another DA in office, that can make the difference between whether our folks get 20 years to life in prison. So we playing with folks' lives because we up on this opinion thing, that this ain't about your opinion. This is literally around fundamentally how we're going to get power, or at least how we reduce the harm happening in our community. And so part of what concerns me around the celebrity piece is it's not grounded. Oftentimes it's not grounded in the real work that's happening every day to the people who are most vulnerable, because literally when we see these courts packed with these judges, that's impacting our folk on the ground, y'all. When we're seeing all of these pieces cut out, that there's no protection for workers or for poor folks, that's our people on the ground that we working with every day. And so I just think that we've got to be mindful around, I'm glad you're a celebrity, you got an opinion, but that don't make you an expert because you can rap.
You know what's so crazy, Tasha? Like, even in reference to something that they're doing tomorrow, one of the reasons I chose not to participate in it is because I said that exactly. I was like, well, where are the people that are actually doing the work on the ground? Like, I'm tired of y'all talking about everything except for what our actual interests are.
Right, right. You know, I think it's because at the end of the day, that's easier if we do these sound bites. Because the truth of the matter is, every 4 years, and I'm glad Bumby said it, every 4 years, there's always been this issue around the Negroes up. Let's come, let's round them up so they can vote. Right? And so what we do at Black Voters Matter, we work 365 days out of the year. Because the truth of the matter is, real power is locally. If you're talking about police brutality, you need to go after the police chief. Guess how he's elected? Locally. When you're talking about these court systems, that's in these states. You're talking about a DA can make the difference between somebody getting 6 months or life in prison. My point is that fundamentally, we're literally talking about power. This isn't just about what this election we're gonna do. Is really around how to shape it. Two things. One, how are we gonna reduce the harm that's happening to our community? And secondly, how are we gonna literally shape something different so that we can radically change all of these systems that we're on?
Now, I know one thing people are also concerned about is how to vote at this time, right? With these concerns about polling places, with the concerns about mail-in voting, and all of that. So can we discuss that so that people who are listening actually have the information that they need?
Yes, they can actually, if you are, the first thing you need to do is check your status right now. We want you to check your status. You can come to our website, www.blackvotersmatterfund.org/vote. You can actually find out if you're registered. If you're not registered, there's a link on there where you can register right then, and you can find out your early voting date. The second thing is, if you're registered, you can vote early. We're telling everybody to vote early. We ought to see this election. This isn't about just the two candidates. We are not in a position that we can leave any power on the table. Ultimately, we got to get it. Whatever it is that's going to help provide some protection to our communities, we've got to do that. And so we need folks to come out and vote early. You know, the third thing is that it's not just this conversation around this individual voting. We have to vote collectively. Whenever we work together, y'all, we win. We have shown that. We've demonstrated. That's literally why there's been so much effort to suppress the vote. That the fundamental piece around suppressing the vote is because folks understand the power, right? It's almost like if you're in a basketball game and you down a couple of points, you know that the referee is cheating. What, you're just gonna go sit on the side and be like, oh, they're gonna cheat anyway? No, I'm trying to get it. And so fundamentally, our folks got to think in that kind of way. We cannot leave anything on the table as long as our community is under attack.
Let me ask you a question, Tasha. When are we going to stop putting the burden on Black voters to show up for Democrats and start putting the burden on Democrats to show up for Black voters, though?
I mean, I think that's a great piece. I say that all the time, but I'm not asking people to show up for the Democrats. I'm asking Black folks to show up for Black folks. Like, to me, voting is a tactical strategy. And right. So even when we're talking about it, I know the difference between, listen, we got a party. This ain't no regular election. We can talk about this like this is a regular election, but this ain't no regular election. There is a president in office who is adamantly, openly aligned himself with white supremacists. I'm from Alabama, y'all. I'm from the deep, dirty South. I can tell you the difference when you got folks that are in office and in power that politically align themselves with a white nationalist agenda. Right, that ain't good for Black folks. So we gotta really see what this is really about, right? Not just about these headlines. This isn't about the Democratic candidate. This ain't even about the Democratic Party necessarily. This literally is around tactically, what do we do to reduce some of the harm happening to our community, put some level of mechanism protection, but also build something different. And my organization has been doing that. Like, we're some of the ones that have been critical. We fight Republicans, we've been critical of the Democrats. We fundamentally say, this is about us. And so as you're dealing with politics, it ain't about your best friend. It ain't about having constant loyalty. What it is about, you making a decision of tactically, what is going to be the best decision to provide a little relief for your community and your people. And that's literally how we're engaging in the process.
All right, don't move. We're still kicking it with Dave Mays, Latasha Brown, and Bun B. And today is National Voters Registration Day. So keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Come on. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Dave Mays, Bun B, and Latasha Brown. Yee.
What's some of the most harmful misinformation that you've seen out there? You know, we see what's going on with Facebook and them having to try to figure out a way to regulate all of this fake news that gets spread and that people keep on reposting. But what are some things that you've seen that's completely not true, that's been really harmful when it comes to voting?
Democrats eating babies. Democrats are part of these very secret groups, right? Yeah, you know, I think QAnon is very detrimental to the process right now. A lot of disinformation for that. But just the fact of them trying to convince you that your vote doesn't matter to me. I'm sure Latasha has different frames of reference based on the work that they're doing. But for me, it's just the fact that there's so much confusion around what's real and what's not real, who to believe, who not to believe. And people just end up like, yo, I don't know who to believe. I don't know if I should be listening to the Democrats. I don't know if I should listen to the Republicans. I don't know if liberals telling the truth, conservatives telling the truth. It's a lot of fake news. It's a lot of deep state talk and all of that. And so people just get frustrated with the process and be like, you know what? I ain't even getting down with it. I'm staying out of it.
I do want to just share something. In that question, what you said, Bun B, I mean, part of it too is folks got to pay attention. We're talking about power right now. And so at the end of the day, people want to just jump up on what they hear, and we got to pay attention. At the end of the day, if you ain't clear that Trump is a racist, I don't know what else to say to you, right? I really don't. I mean, and I'm saying that because on one hand, what I hear that is really more damaging is that those manipulative messages, particularly that are targeted towards young folks and Black men, that in some ways that this whole idea that Trump is going to be the candidate to give money, well, if that's the case, then why, when he spent, there were billions of dollars on the stimulus package, right? 80% of black small businesses, 80% of black businesses didn't get anything.
That's right.
In addition to that, 50% of black small black businesses are slated to close in the next year. So y'all, we got to be real. We keep hearing these little these sound bites and make that some folks attach to, I think sometimes just to be contrary. But the bottom line is when you look at the numbers, we ain't getting paid. Right. When you look at the numbers, even when you look at his First Step Act, when you look at the Department of Justice, he said one thing. He let a couple of black folk out so that he can actually have a lift. They paid $10 million for an ad on the Super Bowl. But still, the same man, as soon as when folks were shot, when black folks were shot like dogs in the street, he couldn't wait to fly out there and stand in solidarity with them. This is the same man that literally stands with the police. So at the end of the day, we need to know, like what we know, what my grandma would say about the devil. We know the devil is manipulative. And so fundamentally, we got to pay attention to literally, if you with us, you with us. You ain't just with us when you want to literally create and sow confusion and chaos. But fundamentally, how are you literally advancing or supporting the advancement of our communities? You can't do that and then stand with the same people that kill us. You can't do that and stand and make these statements that you're not going to have, you're going to protect the white suburbs. You can't do that when you're literally undermining everything that literally protects our community. So we got to call it what it is and know what time it is and stop getting caught up in this opinion space and really be what's real and what we know to be true.
Hey, Tasha, I agree with you. But, you know, it's a lot of people who feel the same way about Joe Biden, though. They'll be like, what has Joe Biden done for black people? They'll point to the 94 crime bill and the 86 mandatory minimum sentencing and the 88 crack laws. He's been in the Senate for damn near 40 plus years. What has he done to push us forward as a community?
Well, I think that's a great point. That's why I said my focus of voting is about tactically who is going to be aligned better for harm against us. Because at the end of the day in the South, I have never had the opportunity to literally vote for the perfect candidate. I have to make a decision, a tactical decision on, because I ain't met too many white politicians that ain't racist. So let's not act like that's something new, right? So let's not act like that's not widespread in this country. But the truth of the matter is we have to have enough discernment to be able to know, because we know in the South, right? We have to make enough discernment that we know that when you got somebody that's talking literally the whistleblowing around consolidating white power and white nationalists and the danger of that, if we can't discern that, that ain't the same thing. Mm-hmm. I understand. I do think that there need to be we should be critical of everybody that is representing us, of anybody that we're voting. But at the end of the day, a decision is going to be made. And so you got to make a decision around what is going to create less harm in my community, while at the same time you focus and you organize to hold those folks accountable. So for us, it ain't just voting, it's voting and doing the work. But at this point, we got to have enough discernment, y'all, to really be able to make the distinction between those who are trying to consolidate white power, to try to limit black progress, literally are aligning with folks that are killing us and shooting us in the street from the difference of what some of the policy. I can deal with the policy. I can deal with the policy. It's a whole different ball game when you got somebody that's undermining and literally working to undermine and use racism as a tool to keep themselves in power.
I feel like, about the point you're making about Biden is really relevant. A lot of people look at things that way. And honestly, for me, you know, it's been disappointing to see that, you know, for example, there's been no zero talk about reparations. Things like that are not being addressed as they should be going into this election. But I think at the end of the day, you know, this is an attitude and a feeling about things that's been pervasive in my experience over the years within hip hop. And I think, you know, it's time for a change, and it's a starting point. You know, we have to start somewhere. Like everyone else has said, we're not going to have the perfect candidate, but if we don't change our mentality, and start to think about things a little differently and the importance of getting involved, I don't think we'll ever see the kind of change that we all would like to see. And also in the words of Larry Hoover on the classic Resurrection album from the Ghetto Boys, you know, real gangsters go to the polls. And I think Larry had that idea right many years ago. So hopefully we can, you know, kind of infuse that back into the mentality of today's generation.
Now, for everybody listening that wants to tune in today, how can they tune in? What should they be looking for? What time does things happen? Break it down for them.
The purpose of this thing, the Hip Hop Political Education Summit, later today, starting at 12 noon, is, you know, it's to focus on voter suppression and the issue of voting, that it's a fundamental right that everybody in this country deserves to be able to exercise, no matter what their circumstances are. So we're not, you know, this isn't going to be a lot of discussion about Trump versus Biden or, you know, who to vote for. This is really about, you know, making sure that folks have access to this cornerstone of democracy, the fundamental right to vote. No matter who you vote for, or if you choose to exercise that right, you should still be able to make that choice. So we're streaming live from 12 noon to 7 p.m. It's available on the Revolt TV YouTube and also on their Facebook page all day, and also on Twitch at the Behind the Rhyme channel. We have everybody, you know, from hip-hop icons and leaders like Chuck D, Big Daddy Kane, Damon Dash, to Rhapsody, Corday. I'm really excited he's going to be participating to bring that young voice and perspective. And then we have other amazing folks like Dr. Cornel West, Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, Mayor Ras Baraka from Newark, Senator Cory Booker, Congressman Andre Carson. I mean, it's an incredible lineup of folks that you'll be able to hear from and gain a lot of insight, knowledge, and perspectives throughout the day, later today, 12 noon to 7 p.m. Please be sure to log on and check us out, the Hip Hop Political Education Summit.
Again, thank you guys for calling in and checking in. Latasha Brown, thank you. Bun,
thank you, Queen Latasha. Thank you, Bun. Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
All righty. It's the Breakfast
Club. Great seeing you guys. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
It's about time.
What's going on?
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, The Real started their latest season yesterday with their new co-host, Garcelle Beauvau. Now, Jeannie Mai posted herself from home as she was getting ready to work virtually to do the first episode of the new season. And she posted a picture of her fiancé, Jeezy, left her a note. Good morning. Congrats, my love. So proud of you. And she said this.
We got our sick setup here so we can come to you live from our home studio. But the best part is, look at my good luck charm for today. My note from my beautiful husband. I love him so much.
Well, everybody was in the comments. I saw T.I. saying, cuz, you got married. I saw Lonnie Love saying, was I the flower girl? Because she referred to Jeezy as her husband.
Man, Jeezy in love. Jeezy and Jeannie Mai in love, man. We call him Jeezy Mai. That's what we call him in these streets. And Jeezy need to get Jeannie Mai a little snowman chain. Not a big one, just a nice little subtle snowman she can wear on the real so the streets know what time it is. Greg Yuna, make Jeannie Mai a little Jeezy, a little snowman. Little snowman.
I'm just happy Jeezy happy. As long as Jeezy and Jeannie are happy, I'm happy.
Right, and people do that all the time. You're engaged, you're together. You say, that's my husband, because you know it's about to happen.
They didn't do Russell and Kamara.
Stop it. Now, in addition to that, Garcelle Beauvau had her first day, and they brought Jamie Foxx on to wish her well. Listen to this.
Garcelle, congratulations on your new job on The Real. And it makes sense because you are the realest. I love you beyond. You're going to bring something to that show that is so wonderful and beautiful. And at the same time, you know what you're talking about. So let it all hang out. I'm sending you blessings on your wonderful, wonderful accomplishment.
As you know, she worked with Jamie Foxx on The Jamie Foxx Show. She was fancy. He also sang forever, fancy to her as well.
Forever fancy. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Now, it was not all roses, though, for The Real yesterday. Amanda Seales was not happy. She said that The Real stole her smart, funny, and black concept. And she posted a picture, and she said, once again, The Real demonstrates its low class and even lower vibration. Just so we're clear, this is an egregious bite of my smart, funny, and black brand in an attempt to bring black awareness into the programming of The Real. They couldn't find any other way to do this without it being a bite of my creation. Yes, I'm saying this on social media because the continued thievery of black people's work, even when supported by other people of color, needs to be called the F out. And also because this is the most energy I'll give it before going on with my day and creating more dopeness that will inevitably be pilfered by the less talented, ethical, ancestry-connected individuals of our species. Happy Monday, vote.
Can we talk about that last bar?
What's that?
Less talented, ethical, ancestrally connected individuals of our species. I swear, as soon as I read that, I heard the beginning of Aether. You know how Aether just comes on with a dum-dum? Like, I just, that's what I heard as soon as I read those three lines.
Don't,
Jesus
don't play
Christ.
With Amanda Steeles.
But that is, people say imitation is the best form of flattery. It's not. Like, come on, nah. Man.
Yeah, the real no. My credit on my bread. Nope. No, it's not.
The real no. They got that from Amanda Seals. Like, it was bad. It was like a Gordon Gartrell. Like, we know what y'all was trying to do, but it was a terrible knockoff.
Mm. Now, she also added, knowing networks, they did this because they knew I'd post and it would boost ratings. Well, that was an eventful first day for The Real's new season. Mm. All right, now to Brett. She was talking to Candy on Candy's episode of Speak On It, and she discussed her past romance with Allen Iverson. Now, she said she was pretty much the perfect girlfriend. Listen to this.
So how did that even come about? And did he even know that you were bi?
I think he knew, but we never talked about it. I met his whole family and stuff. I used to wake up and pick his clothes out and cook breakfast and jack his off when he woke up in the morning. You know, the things he liked, just made sure he was happy. And he spoiled me and made sure I was happy. Like, I was like, this is amazing. Like, I was like, this is it. But then I think, you know, basketball players, hoes, okay?
Right,
like,
true.
He had a baby mama, some kids. He had a lot of stuff going on.
And then she said, here's where things went left.
I think the last straw was we were sitting at a hotel in the hallway outside the door just talking because some of the homies was in the room chilling, watching the game or something. And this naked, half-naked bitch walks up the hallway talking about she looking for him. I'm sitting there with him. I'm like, bitch, I know you mother see me sitting here with this. You still gonna say you looking for him? I must have mollywopped that down the hallway. I said, you know what? I said, I can't do this. And I kind of like faded out answering the calls and just had to pull back, and then it eventually fizzled out.
I mean, when you were young, if your woman not beating up other women for you, did she really love you?
Nobody, yeah, no man should want their woman to have to physically fight another woman.
Yeah, not
woman,
fight
though.
Enough like that.
You should never have a woman in that situation.
But you gotta know who the woman. You gotta know who the woman you are. You're dating. Some women will swing on other women. Some women.
You gotta know not to do that.
Brat mollywopped a lot of people back in the day. I'm sure the brat mollywopped a lot of people.
Yeah. And by the way, she was disrespected. If she with her man and a woman that she knows is messing with her man just walks up like it's all good, trying to play her like she don't know. Okay. Back in the day, something could go down. I remember those rumors back in the day too of the brat and Allen Iverson. Because after the brat did King Magazine, Yeah, because after the Brat did King Magazine.
And everything.
Yep. And she was hot in the hood after she did King Magazine because, you know, brothers didn't know she had all of that under them baggy clothes. King Magazine spread was something
People
special.
Weren't used to seeing her like in that way. I remember that King Magazine. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa,
very true.
Brat, we see you. All right. Well, we're just happy to see her in love and being open about who she is and who she's in love with and all of that. So congratulations to her on feeling like she could put herself out there like that, because you never would really see her too much in relationships. And that's what she was talking about. She would keep her personal life under wraps so much.
And she'll still put hands on you. I guarantee it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
No, the brat just looked like one of those people that you just don't ever try, regardless of what age.
No, you definitely don't play with the brat.
Okay. No.
Nope. Not going to happen. All right. Thank you, Yee, for those rumors. Charlamagne, who are you giving that donkey to?
Four after the hour, we need a young woman named Emily Owings to come to the front of the congregation. We would like to have a word with her. Let's just say Emily is with the
With the what?
Dan will bleep me. He'll bleep me. Don't worry.
All right. I was like, this guy's crazy. All right. We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Enter for a chance to win two high-end cell phones with 12 months of service and $2,500 thanks to Simple Mobile. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple. To enter and get rules, visit.
This don't be a donkey, because right now you want some real donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Did she get Donkey of the Day? Please tell me.
I have become Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
You're a donkey.
Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, September 22nd, goes to an Oklahoma woman named Emily Owings. Emily is 28 years old, and she refused to cooperate during a traffic stop, which set off a high-speed chase and guns being drawn in a neighborhood. Now, here's a few details. Emily was initially pulled over for not wearing her seatbelt. She also didn't have a license or her insurance. The only form of identification she had on her was her medical marijuana card. Body camera footage shows what happened next. Let's listen to the body cam footage, please.
Since I had to run your license, since you don't have it with you, came back suspended, and now I'm waiting to see if you have warrants through Woods County.
I poop so bad.
Where do you think I was
birthday,
going?
Man.
Huh?
It says my birthday.
Well, listen to me, okay? Calm down. If they don't end up extraditing you for the warrants, I'm just going to cite and release you. You just need to call you a ride.
Nobody's going to come get me right now. I have to poop. Will you just let me go?
Because I know your license is suspended.
I'm sorry, I didn't know it was. I won't drive no more, but can I please go home and go poop?
I'm Officer Ryan. I guess he's told you what's going on. If I can get you to step out of the vehicle for me.
Are you going to arrest me?
You're under arrest, yep.
Are you kidding me? Why?
You have warrants for Woods County, and they're coming to get you.
No, they're not.
Ma'am.
Now, let me tell you something about me. Lenard McKelvey, Uncle Sharla. I never, ever go out in these streets if I have to poop. Okay, poop, crap, defecation, bake a loaf, bomb the bowl, cook a butt burrito, chop a log, nanny, whatever you want to call it. I don't leave the house if I have to do it. Why? Because I am traumatized at the fact of having to nanny and then getting locked up for a minor infraction. See, I don't know how it works in white America because I'm not white, but I've been placed in handcuffs for unpaid tickets I didn't even know I had. I've been to jail for driving under a suspended license and didn't even know my license was suspended. There's nothing worse in that holding cell while you have to launch a butt shuttle. Okay, it's something that even now as a grown ass man, I still do because I have PTSD from the times that I had to sit in the holding cell and keep the Browns from going to the Super Bowl. So I understand Emily's pain. PTSD is real. Post-traumatic disorder is a real thing. So I understand. But F all that. Okay, the law is the law, Emily. And when you're driving without a seatbelt, you don't have no license, no insurance. Your only form of ID is a medical marijuana card. And you curse the cops out and take them on a high-speed chase. Oh, you got to go to jail. Okay? Emily is with the shits. Literally. Now, this does get better. Okay? See, even though Emily took the police on a high-speed chase, it didn't last long. The news reports say several blocks Emily drove with speeds topping 70 miles per hour. Emily ran through a bunch of stop signs and a school zone. Thank God kids weren't getting out of school. Then she eventually stopped and surrendered after officers put those pistols to her and said, knock this shit off. And she said, no, I need to get this shit out. Let's go back to the police officer's body camera to hear what else Emily had to say.
Get out of the vehicle now. Step out now. Charges to county charges.
Get out of poop in your car, man.
You could have already been on your way to jail.
Yeah, not pooping.
Get in the car.
Look, man, just like the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals, poor Emily is just trying to get those rusty nuggets out. Okay, she asked if she could let some butt dumplings fly in the back of the police car. Now, I'm not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary, but I think she really had to let out an aerial snake. Emily said there is a brown dragon in her butt trying to spread its wings, but this is not a game. She needs a throne to sit on. Okay, play that second part of the body camera footage again.
Get out of the vehicle now! Step out now! Charges to county charges.
Why? Get out of poop in your car, man.
You could have already been on your way to jail.
Yeah, not pooping.
Get in the car.
The officer says you could have already been in jail. Emily says, but not pooping. Valid observation, Emily. Clearly, these officers are missing the point. Forget the high-speed chase. Forget your warrants. You have to poop, and the officers won't let you. Who do they think they are? Now, I'm tired of talking about this. Emily is right where she needs to be, and that's jail. And if she had to let some fanny fudge go half as bad as she's claiming she did in this body camera footage, I pray for her cellmate. Emily is currently in the Garfield County Detention Center, and she faces several felony charges. And I think now is as good a time as any to play a game of Guess What Race It Is! Now, listen, pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt. Didn't have license or insurance. Only form of ID was a medical marijuana card. Cursed the cops out and didn't let them on a high-speed chase. Pulled their guns out and didn't shoot her. Oh, and one more very important clue that I left out. When they searched their car, they found a pipe with meth inside. But also think, They didn't let her poop, which is very key. Dylan Roof got Burger King, but they didn't let this young lady poop. So don't assume you know what she is. But DJ Envy, guess what race she is?
All right, these are the keys, the clues for me. Meth, right? Also, the fact that the police pulled out a gun and didn't shoot. Mm-hmm. But I would say cursing out the cops. I gotta go with white.
She is Caucasian. Mm-hmm. All right. Angela Yee, you heard the clues. Pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt. Didn't have a license or insurance. Only form of ID was a medical marijuana card. Cursed the cops out and didn't let them on a high-speed chase. They pulled their guns out on her and didn't shoot her. And one more very important clue. They found meth in her car when they searched. But they didn't let her poop, which is very key. Angela Yee, guess what race she is?
I would have to say that she appears to be Caucasian just because there's, yeah, the white privilege of being able to curse out the cops and think you're going to get away with it and then pull off on a high-speed chase and live.
In the meth. Yeah, I thought the meth, but they ain't let her poop, though. What is it? What is she? What is she? Tell us.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, there's no tricking you guys. Emily, a.k.a. Young Poop Emoji, is Caucasian!
I knew it.
That young turd trooper is white. Okay? Yeah. Taylor shit.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey of the day.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys watch Schitt's Creek?
No, I heard about it, though.
No, I don't watch it.
Yeah, they won a lot of Emmys.
All right. Thank you for that donkey of the day.
Yes, indeed.
Now, when we come back, 800-585-1051, let's have wedding talk. Now, talk about it a little bit, Yeezy.
Right. So somebody had shared an invite to Reddit's wedding shaming forum. And on that invite, it was talking about when you RSVP, what can you choose from for the meal? So according to the RSVP, if you give the couple a gift worth up to $250, you get roasted chicken or swordfish. But the more you pay for the to give to the couple, the better meal that you might get to choose from. So above that, you know, between $250 and $500, you'll get sliced steak and poached salmon. Now, if you do between $500 and $1,000, then you get to pick from filet mignon or lobster tails.
Now, I've never heard of that before. I think that is tacky. I've never heard of that before in my life. The only type of I guess levels at a wedding is who gets to eat first, but everybody eats the same thing. You know what I'm saying? I've never heard that before in my life.
You're supposed to when you go to a wedding, you're supposed to really pay for your plate. So that's what you're supposed to do as a gift. So let's say the plate. So yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pay for the plate. Yeah. So when you give cash, let's say you have a steak in mashed potatoes. Let's say that's usually around $75, and it's two of you. You're supposed to give $150 for the plate.
You're supposed to give $150 for food.
They charge so much more at weddings because you got to also think it's open bar. If it's open bar, right?
So you have to pay for your plate. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You pay $100 per plate.
I didn't charge nobody for food in my wedding, and we had an open bar.
You don't charge
people for food, but what they're saying is the gift giving rule is you're supposed to give a present or money equivalent to what it would have cost for your seat.
Correct.
I didn't know that. I had no idea about that.
But you don't know what that cost is, because what if somebody has a wedding, they don't have a lot of money, that means you pay them less?
What you mean?
Because like, let's just say somebody has a low budget wedding because they don't have a lot of money.
Because that's what he's actually saying. He's actually saying, I have friends with money. I have friends that don't have money. And I have friends that are broke. And I want to invite them all. But I can't afford this wedding. So if you don't have money, don't order the expensive stuff. But if you got money, order the expensive stuff. That's basically what he's saying.
I think that's tacky. I think that everybody should eat the same goddamn thing at the wedding.
The same choices.
That's it.
All right, well, let's open up the phone lines. I agree with you. I think everybody should pay the same thing. I don't think if you have a wedding and you're getting married, you shouldn't expect what people are going to be giving you as a gift. You know what I mean? Them coming is your love and just showing your respect and love.
Have you ever not gone to a wedding because you were broke? Like, I don't even have money to go to this one. Because when I was younger, I would get invited to weddings and I would be like, I don't even really for real have money like that.
I had no idea you had to pay to get into weddings. All of this is new to me.
You're not
this
paying. You don't got to pay at the door, Charlamagne. Charlamagne, I got to pay to get
into
wedding.
What are y'all talking about then?
What's the cover? No, you ain't got to pay to get at the door, but that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pay the plate. Whatever you think your plate costs, that's what you're supposed to pay.
I had no idea. I've never heard this in my life. This is all new to me. Please, somebody school me.
All right. 800-585-1051. do you think this guy should be charging different rates at his wedding? So he got the high rate, which is lobster and scrimps. Then he got the steak rate. And then he just got the chicken nugget rate. 800-585-1051. Call us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're talking marriage and wedding. Now, I don't know where Yee got this story from, so break it down a little bit, Yee.
Yes, it was an article that I saw, and it was about a couple's wedding RSVP. And so on the invite, it says, so that we may prepare your preferred dinner, please circle your gift level and indicate a meal choice. So there's the loving gift, silver gift, golden gift, or platinum gift. And the lowest tier was the loving gift, up to $250. You get to choose from roast chicken or swordfish. And on the highest tier, the platinum gift, that was $1,000 to $2,500, and you get to choose between a 2-pound lobster plus a souvenir, champagne goblet, filet mignon, things like that.
I'm not here to judge, but I am here to have an opinion. Okay. Hack it. Okay, I have never heard that in my life. All right, but I'm also not a person. I'm a person who didn't pay attention to any of the planning of my wedding. That was all my beautiful wife. But I've never been to a wedding where I had to pay for a plate. Nonetheless, order packages for what I get to eat based on what I offer you as a gift.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. That's what's recommended as a gift. That's recommended when you go to somebody's wedding, you pay for your plate. I get what he's
never
doing.
He probably has
friends on all different spectrums. He probably has friends with a lot of money, friends that are just okay, and broke friends. So he doesn't want to make people feel uncomfortable. You know, when you go to a wedding, you want nice things. He just doesn't want to have chicken nuggets and French fries. He wants to have nice food. And, you know, people really expect that money back. Like it's big in a lot of cultures where they shower the bride and groom with money, because weddings are expensive, right? And usually the gifts that you get back help you pay for that wedding.
Yeah, that's the hope that you get. But you can't, like, force people to get. Now, let me ask you this. If you bring a date to a wedding, say you're the date, are you supposed to pay, or does the person that invited you pay?
What do you mean?
For your part. Because it's two of you going, right? Let's just say
if you bring a date, you got to pay for two plates. You got to pay. You're supposed to pay for two plates.
Okay, so the date doesn't have to pay. Like, let's say I ask a guy to go. So now I'm paying for me and him?
Yes.
Man, I'm so confused by all of this paying for a wedding thing. I invited you to my wedding because I want you to share this special moment with me and my bride. The wedding should be paid for by her daddy, which is usually tradition, or by the groom.
Oh, slow
right?
down.
Whoever got the bread. That's not the people's attending's responsibility. The people attending's responsibility is not to pay for your wedding.
And all that,
and
the
yes,
bride.
That is, it is custom that the bride's daddy pays for the wedding.
That we got to stop that. We got to stop that. We got to stop that. I got three girls. We got to stop that. They got to go 50-50.
Nope. We just
what
saw that
dad's
goddamn,
not around?
That lime green car you got. Hell no. You definitely paying for some weddings. I can't. These brothers out here can't wait to marry one of your daughters, Envy. They know they wedding going to be lit.
Definitely not. They got to pay. They got to pay themselves. And they going to have to do it just like this. Chicken nuggets and french fries. You got to come with this. Whatever. But let's go to the phone lines.
By the way, a Chick-fil-A catered wedding ain't bad, because I love Chick-fil-A. You know what I'm saying? Chick-fil-A catered wedding would be kind of fire. All I'm simply saying is I don't think it's the people's attending the wedding's responsibility to pay for your wedding. That's tacky.
But let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Sony.
Hey, Sony. Good morning.
Good morning, MB. Good morning, Charlamagne. Angela.
Peace, queen.
Good morning.
Now, we're asking, you heard what Yee was talking about this wedding, where they have three different options you can choose. One is a smaller option, one is a high price option, and one is in the middle. What do you think about somebody doing their wedding like that?
Well, first of all, I do have a wedding planning business, so I am a wedding planner. So I deal with this kind of topic often, okay? But first of all, asking someone to choose like a plate like that is rude. That's one.
Yes.
It makes me actually believe that this person does not have the money that they actually need to put on their wedding. Because when you have a wedding, you know, of course, you may be expecting gifts. It is an unwritten rule that you are supposed to bring a gift to a wedding. But you have to prepare that those gifts are not going to cover the cost of your wedding. That's not what it's meant to be.
That's
you know,
right.
It's just something extra. It's an added-on bonus. So it's very day class A. for this person to be asking people which tier they want to be in.
Is it okay to ask for money instead of a gift for your wedding? Is that okay as a wedding planner?
Yeah, people do that all the time. They ask for donations, absolutely, to sponsor the wedding. That happens all the time.
Yeah, so when you send out your wedding invitation, you usually either list your registry or you can list what's called a honey fund. A honey fund allows people to send money, and you can either use it for your honeymoon or you can use it to take a trip. You can use it for renovations on your house. So, yes, when you do send out your invitations, you can make it clear what kind of gifts you would like to receive. But, you know, you just need to be thankful either way.
That's right.
How much, how much should a person give if they're going to a wedding, like equivalency financially? How much should you give?
I would say a minimum $50.
And I think that's perfectly
fine.
That's right. Whatever's on that registry.
Right. And so, you know, if they have a registry, whatever you want to pick on the registry, I usually go $50 at least. Older people like grandparents, aunts, they usually write checks and they usually do about $100 just because they're of an older generation. So it really just depends, but you should try to bring something.
And this is coming from a wedding planner. What's your name again, Queen?
Right.
What's your name again?
My name is Sony, like the TV.
What's your business called?
It's called Love Always Planning, LLC. I'm located in Hampton, Virginia.
Hey, HU757.
Hey. Love Always Planning.
That's very difficult. I mean, because most people, when they do get married, they don't necessarily have a lot of money to get married. So they're nickel and diming. Mm-hmm. So they really, really, really look forward to that money coming in. They really do.
I've never heard this before in my life. I didn't know people were having weddings because they was trying to raise money. I did not know this.
It's not raise money.
It's trying to help pay for it.
I didn't know that.
What if it's a destination wedding and you've paid for a flight and all of that, and you got to get a gift?
Well, for destination, yeah, you got to pay for your flight. Well, usually when it's destination, you are supposed to pay for a gift, yes, and then you pay for your flight in your hotel room. But let's come back. Let's talk some more about it. 800-585-1051 is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Call me.
Add your opinion to the Breakfast Club top.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're having wedding talk. You want to break it down a little, Yee?
Yes, this couple, their wedding invitation went viral, and that's just because they were asking for different tiers of money, and that's what would dictate what meal you were able to choose from for the dinner. So the more expensive meals, you had to give a better gift.
It's just tacky as hell. And never in my life did I think that this type of stuff is what people expect from you when they invite you to their wedding. I thought you was inviting me to your wedding because you want me to share your special day with you and your significant other. Yes, I will get you a gift. I'll get you something off the wedding registry, but don't expect me to, you know, buy packages to help you pay a wedding that you can't afford. That don't even make no sense.
Now, if you get invited to a wedding and you don't go, should you still give a gift?
Yes. That's actually the consolation prize. You go to the wedding registry and you get something off the registry. But if you get invited to a wedding, you should go. Because I mean, that person wants you there.
If you can, but if you can't.
All right. Well, let's go to the phone lines.
All
Hello,
this
who's this?
Plate stuff. I did not know about this.
Yeah, she's supposed to. Hello, who's this?
This is Corey, man.
Hey, Corey. Good morning, brother. Sounds like you got something to say.
Good morning. Is this live? Is this just Envy? Is Charlamagne and Angela Yee there?
Yes, sir.
We've been here for the past decade.
I get that. Hey, Envy, let me tell you something, dog. I just moved back to New York. I love New York radio. What wedding have you went to that people pay for their food?
Thank you, brother. God
all
damn, Envy and Angela.
Every wedding. I mean, you don't write on the envelope, this is for the food, but that's how you base what you give.
That's like, the gift.
I never knew that.
Oh, Andrew,
why y'all the only two that know this?
Hold on. Angela, that's how you think too?
What? No, when you go to a wedding, you have to give a gift. You don't just show up empty-handed.
Nah, but you're moving the goalposts. Y'all said pay for the plate.
Unless you broke, like you when are. You were younger, you said you broke.
I'm saying we gave less money when we were younger because we didn't have it like that. But yes, you're supposed to give
it
a
like
gift.
That now. I don't have it like that now, but I'm not going to base what I give on what the food is.
That's the whole point. We don't think you should, but this particular person has this on their wedding invite.
I'm in agreement with Charlamagne Tha God. What I'm saying is, it's open bar. Sometimes you tip heavy for the bartenders.
That's okay. Right.
If I give a gift, I'm giving a gift out of the kindness of my heart. I am blessing those that I go to that wedding, and they have invited me and my family, or me plus one, or me, because I'm just a nut. What I'm saying is, I will go there, party hard, and I will give out of the kindness of my heart what I will give out of the kindness of my heart. I don't understand that food thing. I'm sorry to come at you like that, Envy. I apologize.
We definitely putting you at the chicken finger french fry table, brother.
Yeah, you put me at the chicken finger french fries, dog. We can start a food fight after the wedding, dog. I'd say that right now.
Okay, no dessert for him.
By the way, you know how disrespectful that is to the attendance of your wedding if you actually have tears? So it's just like certain friends is eating certain food, other friends eating other food. It's like they looking at each other like, oh, so you give your best friend this and you give me this, why you invite me that? Like, you can't do that, man.
You at the top tier liquor side. You at the bottom tier liquor side.
What about a wedding that you have to pay for the bar, cash bar? What do you think about that?
That's tacky too.
I've been to there. I've been to one of those before.
Me too.
I mean, if people can't afford it, you're there for because they that experience. If they can't afford it.
If it's a choice of no drinks at all or you got to pay for your drinks, people will pay for their drinks.
Well,
rather
guess
than
what?
Not have a bar.
That's why some people need to go to the courthouse.
Okay. They still want to share with friends. We got time for a call. All right, what's the moral of the story?
I don't know if there is a moral to this story. I'm just shocked that there's people out there making folks pay for food at their wedding. That's insane to me.
I wonder if anybody's ever made a profit from their wedding.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, we got rumors on the way.
The Ciroc wedding sponsorship. Yes, Lupe Fiasco, is he a better lyricist than Kendrick Lamar? This was something that was playing out on social media over the weekend.
What? All right, we'll talk about it when we come back.
That's not a what.
I didn't see that. Is Lupe Fiasco better than Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah, that's not a what. We're not going
to. So what is it then?
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
What is this?
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, so we were playing some audio from Young Miami from over the weekend. Apparently, she is single now. Here's a reminder.
Cheers to Young Miami being single.
Well, Southside was on live and people were asking him about his relationship status and what happened. And here's how he responded.
Good mother, all that. I ain't that kind of I ain't even like that. I ain't mad or no like that, none of that. I ain't finna bad mouth her. Just took a turn where I went my way, she went her way. You feel me? I wish her the best.
That's G to him. Salute to Southside. Mm-hmm. I like that. Don't kick nobody's back in or try to say anything to get no press. I respect that. Salute to Southside, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gabrielle Union is hosting an all-black cast reading of Friends, and that is to raise awareness for when we all vote. So that's going to feature Sterling K. Brown, Uzo Aduba, Ryan Bath, Aisha Hines, Kendrick Sampson, and Jeremy Pope. That's actually taking place today from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Zoom, where it happens.
Why are they picking these white shows to do, though? Like, I saw, because didn't,
Golden Girls.
Tracy Ellis Ross and them are doing Golden Girls. They doing Friends. Mm-hmm. Like, why are they doing that? Why are they not doing, like, Living Single or 227? Like, why are they not doing, like, classic black
shows? They're doing
shows
that didn't really have a lot of black people on them, if any at all. And they're
flipping it. Oh, okay. I get it now. Makes sense.
And that'll be directed by Sally Richardson Whitfield.
Okay.
Got you.
All right. Now, there's all kinds of issues going on. Now, Reason from TDE, he has a song called The Soul Part 2, and he actually called out Logic on the song. Listen to this.
Looking to pronounce my name wrong, tell me that I ain't did much. See, y'all mistake my name for Logic, y'all got me fucked up. How you compare the gun that take from the culture versus the gun that's forth? The ish is born, my limits are soaring, the industry snoring. Leave my city not again, I'm here to restore it, I'm here to explore it. I'm nipped to the core and I'm not finna forfeit, I'm not gonna have my block looking foreign.
His name gets confused with Logic for some reason.
I can see that, Logic, Reason, but
yeah, it's
not
crazy.
Really. I mean, in the thesaurus, maybe, but drop on the clues, Bob, for a reason. That is one of my favorite rappers to listen to. That young man gets busy. I look forward to new Reason music.
He does get busy.
All right, and in other news, Lupe Fiasco. This turned into a conversation about whether or not he is a better rapper than Kendrick Lamar, or lyricist. What do y'all think?
Is Lupe a better lyricist than Kendrick Lamar?
I don't think he's a better lyricist. I mean, Lupe is dead busy. He's nice. I don't think so.
To me, no. But let's not act like it's outrageous to debate the two, because Lupe is a top tier, God level MC. In fact, Lupe, I would say, I would say a Lupe walked so a Kendrick could run. The difference between a Kendrick and a Lupe is that Kendrick's lyrics actually connect with a mass audience. Kendrick is able to take what he does lyrically and package it in a way that makes it connect with a lot of people from a lot of different walks of life. So to me, that's what makes Kendrick not only a better artist than Lupe, but you got to factor that in when you talk about who's the better lyricist, because Kendrick's lyrics just connect with people more.
Well, it all started on Twitter, right? Somebody posted, who's the better lyricist, Lupe or Kendrick? And Lupe responded, Lupe. Of course he should, though. He is Lupe.
Yeah, that's so what he should do. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what else he going to say?
Now, just a couple of years ago, Lupe had also said Kendrick wasn't a top-tier rapper in his eyes. And
that's a damn lie. That's just a lie. Right. You need to clean your glasses. Okay.
He did say that Kendrick is a better artist than him, by the way.
Kendrick is definitely a better artist. I don't think that's debatable. But Kendrick is a better artist than a lot of people, just because of the way Kendrick, you know, takes his time with his music. And I mean, you think Kendrick's been out, what, a decade? Gave us, what, 4 albums that are all can be debated classics. But just as far as lyrics, Lupe and Kendrick aren't that far away from each other. Just Kendrick packages his lyrics better. And I think that gives him the slight edge in the lyricist conversation.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. And today at 11:30 a.m., I'm going to be on my Instagram live, right? Today is National Voter Registration Day, and all day long on different lives, they're doing so many different things with Michelle Obama, J-Lo, Fat Joe, Khaled, and just all getting people to make sure that they are registered to vote. So that's what we're doing today. I'm DJing from 11:30 to 12, and then Fat Joe and Khaled's on after me. There's a host of different DJs performing and people talking, doing interviews, from Aisha Curry to Chris Paul to so many different things. So that's today on my IG Live. You can go to people's IG Lives and check them out, but I will be on this morning at 11:30 a.m. All right. Shout out to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Enter for a chance to win 2 high-end cell phones with 12 months of service and $2,500 thanks to Simple Mobile. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple. To enter and get rules, visit breakfastclubonline.com. Hey everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. We got a shout
morning.
Out Dave Mays for joining us this morning. Dave Mays, Latasha Brown, and Bun B. They're doing a hip-hop political education summit today for 12 to 7. You can check that out on Revolt's YouTube page. It's streaming live all day long. People that'll be talking is Big Daddy Kane, Bun B, Dame Dash, Chuck D, Cornel West, Michael Eric Dyson, a host of people, Ross Barak from Newark, New Jersey. So a lot of people talking, Ninth Wonder. So definitely check that in. Again, that happens today from 12 to 7 on YouTube Revolt. Shout out to Dave Mays and him for stopping through today.
Absolutely. Yes, and I also want to point out that today, you know, I've been doing these pop-ups at Brooklyn Roasting every Tuesday up until the election for my coffee brand, Coffee Uplifts People. And today the Krabby Shack is there until 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people love the Krabby Shack. These are small Black-owned businesses in Brooklyn who we are supporting doing these pop uplifts is what we're calling them. So come through to Brooklyn Roasting on Flushing Avenue today and try out some Krabby Shack as well.
All right. All right, when we come back, we got the positive note. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do have a positive note, man. The positive note today is very simple. Sometimes the people around you won't understand your journey. They don't need to. It's not for them.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?